Morning, everybody. Morning. This side has not woken up yet. 1 second. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good job. Good job. Good job. Morning, Prosper and Louisville and Dallas. Welcome to OCC. Thanks for being here. We're going to pray. Then we're going to stand up together and we're going to read four verses from Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 4. And then we're going to get going with our word today. Father, what a joy and what an honor it is to be alive and to be well at this particular time in human history. It is a great time to be alive when you need great witnesses all across this confused world to show the light in the midst of the darkness. Will you encourage these light bearers now, and will you brighten our lights with your word so we can go out and represent you greatly? We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, why don't you stand with me? While you're standing, just a little gentle tap on your neighbor's shoulders and say, we read the Bible in this church. Just tap him real quick. Real gently, real gently, real gently. All right. Tap the other one on the other side and say, hey, for real, we're going to read together. We're going to read together. Here we go. All right. Why don't you read with me first four verses of Matthew chapter 17. Read out loud with me. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. In other words, he didn't take everybody. He left nine and he brought three. There's a word right there. We'll get to it in a minute. Number two. Here's what happened. And he was before them, and his face and his, that's right, next verse, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. All right, stop right there. Moses has been dead for about 1400 years. Elisha was caught up about 900 years prior to this time. So when you're reading the scriptures and you see the word behold, you can't just read it like it's just another sentence. So somebody is seeing your boy Mo and your boy E, and they're coming back to life, and he's seeing them like in living color. Are you kidding me? You don't just say, yeah, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. No. It's like, are you kidding me? Is this really Mo? Is that you for real? So you got to give a little expression to it. So when you're reading the scriptures, you got to pick it up. So when it says, it's like, and behold, that's what it is. My boy Mo and my boy E showed up. All right, so we're going to contemporize it, one community church style. That's how you're going to read it, all right? Here, get ready. Rehearse it in your mind one time. You got it? All right, now I need you to say it just like that. You're shocked. You hadn't seen them. What if they showed up today, right now? You wouldn't even know what he looked like. He'd be like, who that old dude? Come on. So I want you to read. When you see behold in the scriptures, it means this is a shocker. This shouldn't happen, and it's happening. Here we go. And
behold,
your boy.
Behold.
And your, no. Mo. Come on. Here's what we're going to say. And behold, my boy Mo and my boy E appeared. That's what we're going to say. Here we go. Last time. Come on. You're wasting my time. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. And
behold,
my boy
behold,
and my boy appeared to them, talking with him. All right, that's good. You did good. Last verse. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good. Stop right here. Go back to verse 3. Is there any question here? Why is Peter talking? Did anybody ask him? Did Jesus ask him anything? Did Elisha or Moses? Anybody ask him nothing, but he talking. We go, be careful, because you do that all the time. Ain't nobody asking your opinion, but you giving it. You do it on social media all the time. Ain't nobody told you to comment, but you want, well, I'm going to tell y'all what I think. When you go to a new level, sometimes you need to assess the environment. Sometimes you need to fear the environment before you open your mouth and show that you don't belong in the environment. Here we go. Verse 4. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is
good for us to be here.
three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one. You may be seated. We're in a sermon series, ladies and gentlemen. This is the penultimate message. Next week we will conclude it and then we'll focus in on our Christmas experiences. It's called Mountaintop Experiences. The reason we're doing this series is because we were concerned with what the big church and this one was producing. The fruit of your lives is what we were concerned about. Jesus is here. He expects, having spent 3 years with his disciples, that they should be now mature men of God that will now go out and replicate what he had done to them. That's his expectation. Paul picks it up a little later on, and he says, by this time, you should be eating meat, but you still require milk. The idea is the time frame was 3 years again. By 3 years, once you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you should be looking like Jesus. My concern in this series is that we got too many Christians that don't look like Jesus. When you go through a storm, you don't look like Jesus, you look like the rest of the world. You react to storms the way the rest of the world reacts to storms, as if you don't have a Savior who is in control and is able to calm any storm you're in. That becomes a problem for us, ladies and gentlemen, when you're supposed to have a marriage that's thriving, but your marriage looks just like the marriages of the world. I got a problem with that, because you know the word and you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, so you ought to be living differently than the world. But when your marriage looks just like their marriage, then there's something wrong with the preaching coming from the pulpit and with the living it out that should be taking place in your life. There's something wrong with that. When students who are supposed to be living for God worship everything else except God, there is something wrong with that. And we need to call that out and model the way for the rest of the family. When women in church dress just like women in the world, there's something wrong with that. And we need to call that out. When men of the world love all their toys and men in the church love the same toys and worship the same toys, there is something wrong with that, because God's word is clear on how we're supposed to look. You're supposed to be a little more patient, a little more kind, a little more self-controlled. When the world is saying, what you mean I can't have sex? And the church is saying, what you mean I can't have sex? There's something wrong with that. That's why we're doing this series, because there's something wrong with you and I believing that we can look just like the world. There's something wrong when an image shows up in our culture that is extraordinarily selfless and self-giving and self-sacrificing, and the world marvels over it, and the church, because we haven't been doing it, don't have anything to show. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. So that's what we teed up. And so in order to tee this up today, I need to put this passage in context so you know what's happening. Jesus has been hanging with his boys for a while. He took them through Capernaum. He took them through the Sea of Galilee. He taught them many things. He taught them that he's in control of the storm. He taught them that he has more power than the demons. He taught them that he can heal the sick and he can make the blind see. He's teaching them this. What's he doing? He's building their faith, because he is going to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he's going to die and he's going to leave and he's going to send them a helper for them to do greater things than they saw him do. He's setting them up. He's spending the 3 years pouring his life into them so that when he leaves, they can take over. And you're here today because of them. But now we get to the pinnacle before he heads straight for Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, when he gets to the pinnacle, to this mountain, one of the highest 9,000 feet above sea level, he gets there. He does not, watch this, he does not invite everybody to the mountaintop. He's extraordinarily selective, because everybody can't handle the mountaintop. So he has to give those who have shown that they can handle the mountaintop, those are the ones he takes there. In order to get it, though, he's going to transfigure himself. This is important because this is the appetizer that proves, this is the point of chapter 17, he's going to prove to them that that his death is not the end, it's the beginning. So he has to, here we go, he has to let his deity bust through his humanity so they can see him in all his glory. He has to do that. And he has to do it because he wants them to know that he is God. And then the Heavenly Father is going to pronounce and affirm that he is God right in front of these eyes. Why? Because it is linking their purpose and why he's called them. The reason you must run after Jesus is because Jesus has the key to unlock your divine design and your divine purpose. The reason you want to dwell with God, tabernacle with God, contemplate and reflect weekly, daily, every day, you're supposed to spend time. The reason you want to do that is because the key to your life is found in Jesus. So he's going to invite them to mosey on up this mountain with him so he can unlock their destinies. And so he says, here's who I am. But before he does that, verse 5, he gives us a lesson that every parent ought to know. Verse 5, he tells us how parents should interact with their kids. I want you to pick up verse 5, and I want you to notice what he says. He says, while he was still speaking, we'll get to that, because the father has to interrupt Peter, because Peter shouldn't be talking, but he's talking. So the father got to interrupt him, but that's not the point yet. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and here's that word again.
Behold.
Come on, everybody, and
behold.
That's right. Ain't nobody ever seen this before, except when they did it at his baptism. A voice out of the cloud said, read it with me, everybody. This is with whom I am. And then it says, listen to him. Now, in that one phrase, it speaks volumes about parenting that I want to teach you real quickly as a parenthetical thought on our way to the lesson of chapter 17. See, he gives us five things that all parents, every last one, should be pouring into their kids. It's on the front of your handout. So take your handout out and let's look at it together. Number one, every parent should give their kids access. Access. The heavens opened, the cloud came down, they now had access to the Father. Now, listen, everybody. I wonder if your kids have access. I didn't ask you if you're giving them access when you want. Do they have unfiltered access to you? Do your kids know that you will be present in their lives and that they can come to you on their worst day and on their best day because they will have access? Number two, archetype. That means that the father represented who he wanted the son to be. That the father's character was of such that he just said, follow me, son. I want you to be just like me. So he was God. And he says, I want you to be just as self-giving as me, just as self-sacrificing as me, just as I am willing to give. I want you to be a giver as well. The problem with most parenting is you want your kid to be like Jesus, but you ain't like Jesus. You're not modeling for your kids what it looks like to be a man of God and a woman of God, but you expect them somehow to learn from somebody, which is why sometimes you dump them in children's church so that the people in children's church can help them, but the people in children's church are trying, but you counteracting everything they're doing because you ain't living for God. But if you want them to be like you, then show them the model. You want them to be like Christ, show them the model. Show them who Christ is by living according to the demands of God. Number three then. He says number one is access, number two is archetype, number three is acceptance. Watch this. What's the words, the loaded words of the father to his son? The son is in his humanity, the father is in his divinity, and he is saying to that son who has allowed just for this moment his divinity to burst through his humanity, he is saying, this is my beloved son. Son, you're accepted. Daughter, you're accepted on your worst day and on your best day. Your behavior don't determine how much I love you. I love you regardless of your behavior. There's a consistency because of your presence, and there's a consistency because of your love for your kids that they know period that you're loved. See, the problem with some of us is your kids only get your love if they make straight A's. But they know that if they don't make straight A's, then you're not going to love them because your love is conditioned based on how they do in school. Now, I'm glad God ain't conditioned his love to based on how you live like him. Because too many of us getting an F in that. Too many of us getting a D minus. Too many of us getting an E plus. I didn't even know that that's a grade, but E plus. He says, no, it's not dependent on what you do. It's not dependent on whether you can throw the football in the right direction. It's not dependent on whether or not the team's going to lose if you drop this catch and you drop this catch. You drop that catch, you better know your value is not in how well you did in that game. Your value is God has blessed me with you and I'm going to love you whether the world loves you, whether the crowd loves you, whether the teachers love you. You need to know when you come in this house, you will get love. Don't send me no letter talking about, are you saying they shouldn't be studying? I got a ton of degrees. The issue ain't degrees. The issue is, do they know that you love them regardless? Look at the next one, though. It ain't done yet. Then he says, don't everybody want to hear this? With who I am well pleased. Is there a man in here that don't want to know that your family are well pleased with you? Well pleased. Everybody wants it. Everybody. Every human being does. Want to know that you're well pleased. Now listen, here's the danger. I am well pleased with you regardless. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me please. You must make sure that your kids know that you want to affirm who they are and who God says they are. They must know that. The last one, I think most of us miss this one, and that's the assignment. Here's what he says. Listen to him. Because there's an assignment that you have to make sure your kids know. Let me break this one down for you. See, the challenge with many of us in this part of the region is that you care more about your kids' educational assignment than their God-given assignment. Be careful because your kid will become an astrophysicist and be headed to hell. And some of you would rather that than your kid be a janitor and have a great relationship with Jesus. Be careful. Be careful, because when heaven show up, what's going to matter is not their degree. What's going to matter is did they have a relationship with Jesus. So your assignment is to make sure you are pouring the word of God into your kid so that your kid can know what God has called them to do, not just what you want them to do, because you couldn't do it in your time here on earth, so you're trying to get it done through them. You must make sure that your kids know what God has called them to do. And failure to do that is failure to set them up for real success with God. Be careful. Here's what the Bible says. What is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul? What is it to get into Harvard and Yale and MIT? And when they get there, they say they don't believe in God anymore. Be careful. Be careful what you prioritize. Anyways, this is a parenthetical thought. Just go use that sometime in your spare time. Let's get to what I really want to talk about today with y'all. All right, here's what I want to talk about today. I want you to notice what Jesus does on the mountain. There's a valley where all the disciples were, Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus asked Peter, you remember this? Hey, Peter, who do people say that I am? Hey, you're a good prophet. You're a good dude. You're all right. You're their homeboy. Yeah, but, and then he says, he changed it, he personalized it. But who do you say I am? No, don't miss what Peter said, because most people miss it. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered and said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. Whoa. Revelation. That means Peter had a relationship with the Father, not with the Son, because he says flesh and blood didn't tell him. Jesus didn't tell him. That means the Father must have told him. So Peter had a relationship with the Father. With the Father, so much so that God says, because, listen, number one, because of your faith, you get to get an invitation to go to a whole nother level. Because when nobody was looking, you were spending time with the Father in a relationship with the Father, then you get an invitation, not the nine, you, Peter, James, and John, you get an invitation to go to the next level. Here's my question for you. I wonder if you're not getting an invitation because you're not spending time with the Father. You see, there's a valley and there's the mountaintop. There's a tension between you are called to the mountaintop, but you have cravings in the valley. You are called to the mountaintop. And listen, if you don't handle your cravings in the valley, your cravings will eliminate you from the mountaintop. Okay, some of you don't get it. Some of you don't. Let me help you. I'm going to help you today. It's been 3 weeks. That's why I haven't been here for 2 weeks. That's why. You don't get it. Yeah, here we go. You have a calling to enjoy your family, but you have a craving for the single life. Don't say nothing, because you're going to expose yourself. You have a calling to be debt free, but you have a craving as a consumer and you can't control your spending. He wants to call you to the next level. You have a calling to go to the next level in your business, but you have habits that keep you stuck in the valley. You have a calling to be a great parent, but you're so busy as a workaholic, you never present in the valley with your kids. The cravings will disqualify you from the invitation. So manage your cravings well. Be careful. You got a calling to a healthy life, but you got a craving for ice cream. I'm preaching to myself. Preach to yourself, Pastor, preach. See, there's a tension between the valley and the mountaintop. I want to give you six pearls, six of them, that will help you navigate your valley experience to your mountaintop experience. I want you to take some notes, because if you don't use it for you, you're going to need it for somebody around you. So I really do want you to take some notes. Here we go. There's six. Six of them. Before we get there, there are three types of glory. God's setting it up. Three types of glory. Glory number one is Moses' glory. You remember Exodus 33, don't you? Exodus 33 is where Moses went up to the mountaintop. God gave him the Ten Commandments, and he came down, and the children of Israel says that he shone, his face lit up with the glory of God. Here's what happened. He was just reflecting what he was interacting with when he was interacting with God. That's reflected glory. What you see in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 is not reflected glory, it's radiated glory, because here's what the text says: his clothes shone bright. But his clothes wasn't shining bright because of the clothes, it was because his divinity burst through his humanity, and now that affected his clothes on the outside. He wasn't reflecting anything, he was radiating the glory of God. And then in the future, and the reason he has to tell Peter, James, and John this is because the cross, which is where he's heading now, is not the end. What the end is it when he comes back the second time, which is why future glory is when all of us are glorified with him. No, that's the glory of righteousness. So now all of us are going to reveal and reflect the glory of God. He's teeing it up for him. That's what this chapter is all about. Then the question becomes, before we get to these six jewels, why Moses and why Elijah? Why them two? Because Moses related to the law. He's the giver of the law. Because Elijah related to the prophets. Because he was the greatest of all prophets. And so both of them show up on this mountain, and both of them are talking to Jesus about his death and his resurrection that's coming up as he makes a beeline to Jerusalem from this Mount Hermon that he's on where he is transfigured. It's hugely important. Watch this. Moses represents authority. He had the staff. He'd throw it down and it would become whatever he needed it to become. And he would have the authority. See, authority has the ability to get you out of slavery. Elijah had power. Power has the ability to get you into something that you couldn't get into. So in Jesus, you have both authority and power. It can get you out of stuff and it can get you in stuff. And now he says to you, you got them both, because he says, all authority I've given to you. So now you have the power through the Holy Spirit to get out of the mess you're in and to get into whatever he's calling you to get into. That's why both of them had to be on top of this mountain so they could have a conversation so Peter, James, and John can hang out and watch what God will do. Let's go to D6. Turn your page over. Let's go to D6 and see what he has to say to us on today. This is important, ladies and gentlemen. Don't miss this now. He says, hey, 12 disciples, I want 9 of you to stay, and I want only Peter, James, and John to come with me, because I'm going to take them on a mountain to show them something that is important for their own destiny. When God elevates you to the next level, it's because he wants to show you something that you need for your next destiny, for what he's calling you to do. Watch the text now. Watch the text. So the first point I want you to highlight is this. Faith in the valley makes you eligible for the mountaintop. What qualifies you for the invitation is your trusting in God in the valley. Let me explain. Somebody missed that already. So when you're in the valley, you don't get called out unless you've been faithful right where you are. You don't get called out unless you've been trusting God right where you are. If you're complaining, fussing, and cussing in the valley, then the invitation is not for you. That invitation will pass you. We got too many people who are not faithful right where God has you right now on your job, in the marriage you're in, with the relationships that you have, with the situation that he's providing. You're not faithful there. All you're doing is cussing and fussing. And because you are, you'll never get to the mountaintop. Can you stop and can you realize that God has purpose for you, but you got to pass the test first? Enjoy where you at. You're not entitled to nothing until Jesus invites you out of it. And to gain that kind of invitation, then you have to show faith and faithfulness in God. Listen, church. If your habits are not healthy in the valley, they're not going to be healthy on the mountaintop. If you don't know how to control your tongue in the valley, then you're not going to know how to control them on the mountaintop. He is trying to work some stuff out of you so that you will qualify to get to the mountaintop, because it is your habits that he's trying to work on. He suggests, the last 2 weeks would suggest, the first chair represents contemplation. It's where you're dwelling with God. It's where you're hanging out with God. If you have not spent enough time dwelling here, then why would he elevate you so you can go over there, get busier than you've ever been? All he knows he will be doing is giving you more, and yet you would give him less time. So the question on the floor is, if you don't have your personal time with God here, why would he want to elevate you so you can leave him out up there? You got to dwell. See, too many of us love to use the third chair, which is the consumer chair, and all you want to do is consume. So you have the contemplation chair, the chair where you're working, you're creating something, and then you have the consumer chair. We talked about that 3 weeks ago. So now the problem is, in the valley, too many of you are consuming and you're not being contemplative and you're not being creative. He says, if you're going to get out of this chair, then you've got to do two things. You got to make sure you're dwelling with me, and then you also got to make sure you're creating. If you don't create, you don't get out. Create. You know what you're going to do today? You're going to watch Dak create while you consume. That's what you're going to do, for real. That's exactly what. You know what you did all day yesterday? You watch Ohio State create. You watch Texas create. You watch OU create. You know what you were doing? Consuming the whole time. Jesus spent some of you spent no time with Jesus yesterday, but you sure did spend time consuming. If that's your lifestyle in the valley, then you're going to take that same foolishness into the mountaintop, which means you're going to be the nine and you're not going to be the three that gets to come away with Jesus to a whole new level. I'm trying to help somebody right here. I really am. You got to love dwelling in the valley. Come in. Let's go to number two. I got too much to go. Let's go to number two. Number two says, when you get to a certain level, you see everything differently. When you get to a certain level, you see everything differently. See, some of you are afraid to leave the 12. You're afraid to come away from the 9 to go to the next level. But when you go to the next level, everybody ain't called to the next level. So you got to be careful that you're not trying to bring people with you that are only hindering you because they weren't called, because they weren't faithful in the valley, so they shouldn't be with you. That's why you have to see it differently. They are not called to this. They're not built for this. They're not wired for this. So when God's calling you, if you're trying to bring, let's all go together, family, let's all go, you're going to stay in the valley because they can't handle the mountain. Everything is different on the mountain. Listen, somebody write this down. Your situation is elevated above your mentality. Think about it. When you get in the mountain, your situation, you're going up in the mountain. Let me see if I can figure this one out. When you get in the mountain, you're going up. Pray for me. I don't know how to do this. Just pray for me. Let's see if this is going to work. Praise the Lord. If it does, if it don't, I'm coming out. There we go. I did a little construction. When you're in the mountain, you got to think differently than when you're in the valley. It's a different sort of thinking. You see, in the mountain, you can complain about everything. I don't like how I feel today. I don't like how they're making me feel. You can do that in the valley. In the mountain, when God brings you to a whole nother level, you don't get to complain, because now he's setting you up so you can be the one leading the pack. You don't complain when you're here. They complain against you. Your job is it to set direction and show them where we're going. You got to change your thinking on the mountain. In the valley, you see problems and you react to problems. On the mountain, you got to predict problems, know what you're going to do when the problems show up, and be able to fix the problem before it becomes a problem. That's mountaintop thinking. We got too many people that are trying to bring valley thinking to the mountain. And God is saying, I didn't bring you up here to bring your stinky thinking up here. I brought you to live differently when you come up here. He is trying to reveal to you your purpose. He's trying to reveal to you his calling, your assignment. He has the key that will unlock where he's taking you. That's what he's doing with Peter. He's showing Peter himself, because Peter is going to need it, and he's going to need to know that Jesus is God. So that when they're nailing him to that cross, when they put him in the tomb, Peter can still have hope. When they saw him risen from the dead and ascend to heaven, they know that he's gone, but he's coming right back. Peter got a glimpse into his future because God invited him to the mountaintop. I wonder if God's trying to get you to the mountaintop, but you're working against him. I wonder if you're working against, no, God, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if what I saw was true. Oh, no, God, I don't like that. I'm not so sure I want to do that, God. Or I wonder if you're saying, God, I get it. I appreciate the elevation that you're taking me to, and I will follow you while I go. It's a huge deal, ladies and gentlemen. Too many of you, they have begun to elevate you on your job, elevate you in your entrepreneurship venture. They've begun to elevate you, and you're bringing that thinking up here. And here's what's going to happen to you. Before you know it, you're going to be going all the way. If I can do it, I can. Hold on. Let's see. Here we go. There we go. All the way back down. Your thinking will take you to a level that will take you all the way back to the valley if you're not careful. Wow. Can I get a witness, one family? Come on. Can I get out of this? There we go. All right. I got out. Number three says this. It says, everything that touched Jesus changed because it was connected to him. When you go on the mountaintop, everything that touches you or is close to you should change because you're connected to him. Let me show you what happened. So I told you already, his divinity burst through his humanity. What they saw was his clothes, and that his clothes shone bright. But the clothes wasn't just shining bright. The reason it was shining bright is because Jesus had burst through his humanity, and now his divinity was being revealed, and the clothes couldn't handle it, and nothing else around could handle it either. So what you see is now the radiantness of Jesus shining bright, and everything touching it was affected by it. When you go to the next level, everybody that touches you should be affected by the Jesus in you. Let me say it again. They shouldn't be affected by your intellect. They shouldn't just be affected by your wisdom and smart and winsomeness. They should be affected by the Christ who elevated you to the next level. This is huge because most people forget that when they get up, God's not taking you up there for you. He's taking you up there for his glory through you. Don't forget that. One community, don't forget that. Because too many people in this church, when they elevate you, you think it's all about you, and it's not. It's about the people around you being connected and being better because of you. Now watch this. But now you have to be careful of who you're connected with. Because if you're not careful, some of you want to bring the people in the valley to the mountain to connect with you. And if they haven't transformed their thinking, then they'll bring you down, not bring you up. So be careful when God's trying to get you away from some people. It's not that you hate them. It's not that you don't want to be with them. It's just that you can't spend as much time as you used to spend with them because you're at a different stratosphere and it demands different thinking, and you got to get around some people who think at that level so that you will know where the heck you are that God has taken you to. This is huge. It really is. Which is why some of you, I'm going to get in trouble. Which is why some of you, when you get to that level, I don't care if all your friends are white, you might need some black friends. I don't care if all your friends are black, you might need some white friends. You might need some Indian and Asian friends. Because don't think, well, I only hang out with black people, I only hang out with white people. Oh, okay. It's a different level. You need to go find the people who can think at that level so they can help you sustain. Hold on. Because it's easy to maintain, it's much harder. It's easy to obtain, it's much harder to maintain. It really is. You can get up there, but act the fool, see how quick they get you back right back down. I'm talking to somebody in here today. Let's go to the text. Let's go to verse number 2. Let's walk through it, and then we get to number 4 quickly. He was transfigured before them. His face shone, and the garments became as white as light. Next verse. Watch this now. Next verse. Verse 3 says, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Now listen, it's a different environment. He ain't never seen nothing like this before in his whole life. Peter, James, nor John, never seen nothing like this. Jesus being transfigured? Mo-E-J? What? Are you kidding me? What the heck is this? Where the heck are we? Never been there. The appropriate response is to be in awe, but try to hide it. That's the appropriate response. Can't believe it. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's the appropriate response. Not Peter. Peter's thinking. Peter brings earthly thinking to a divine situation. You do it too. Next verse. Here we go. The verse says, Peter says to Jesus, nobody asked him nothing, he's just talking. Lord, look, this is the earthly thinking and the earthly strategies. It is good for us to be here. Joker, we invited you up. I know it's good for you to be here. That's why I invited you. Because I'm trying to unlock something in you that you're going to need down the future. I am Jesus. I can see a little bit ahead of you. If you wish, old thinking. I've done this before. I'll make some tabernacles where y'all can live and kind of hang out. And listen, and let's just stay here. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Peter wants them to stay here because he doesn't understand next level thinking. He thinks it's, we get to enjoy this, nobody else. Do you see that selfish? Be careful when you take that kind of selfish thinking to the next level. Be careful when you bring old stuff that you used to do, think it's going to work at the next level. It's not going to. Be careful. What brought you to the mountain ain't going to take you to the next level. Come here. So then he says, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Here's Peter's stinky thinking. He's valley thinking. He's thinking, well, they're all on the same level. And God has said, no, bro, we ain't on the same level. Let me show you who I am. And now he's being transfigured. So Peter can, no, I'm just bringing them together so you can see the fulfillment of who I am. And that I have both authority and power. They only have one. I have both. To which now, here we go, Peter. This is your assignment now. To which I'm now going to give to you so that now you can fulfill the assignment and do even greater things than these two did. That's the revelation. Peter can't see it. By the way, do you ever notice what your mama did and what my mama did? When grown folk talking and a kid shows up, my mama wouldn't talk anymore. So let's say this is where I am. I say, hey, mama. And I'm trying to be all quiet. Hey, mama. This is what my mama would do. She wouldn't talk. She would allow the back of her hand to kiss my lips. They will kiss it. And they will kiss it so hard, my throat would say amen. I don't know about your house. You can call CPS. This is in Jamaica. Y'all rules don't apply. This is in Jamaica. Whoopah! If you're not careful, you'll swallow a tooth. By the way, disclaimer, don't try that at home. This is in foreign lands, not in America, where you have CPS. Where when you go to the hospital with that tooth, they're going to ask the kid, where is that tooth and why is it gone? And your kid will say, my mama slapped me in my mouth. I'm done. You're making me miss my point. Number four. Number four says, watch this. Some people will stop you in the middle of your transformation and not allow you to complete the turn. Listen, so you're turning, you're moving from a caterpillar to a butterfly, you're being transformed, and there's some people, Peter, who wants to stop you because they don't understand the level you're on, and said, no, you don't need to do all that, come do this with me, and they will try to change the trajectory of what God has for you. Be careful when people who knew you 10 years ago want to still define you like you are still the same person from 10 years ago and don't want to admit that God did do a transforming work in your life. Be careful, family. Be careful. Be careful when your ex wants to still label you. Be careful when your mother-in-law still wants to say you ain't no good. Here we go. Be careful when you do it to your kids, thinking they have not been changed by the Spirit of God. And because you knew who they were when they were a kid, you're still trying to define them and label them as that. God's doing a work. Let God do the work and let him finish the churning so they can come out as a beautiful butterfly at the end. Can I get a witness one? Let's move on. Number five. Here's what it says. Number five says, he was not sent to fulfill our vision, but for us to fulfill his vision. Don't miss this. Especially those of you gathered at one community church. When God elevates you, it's not just for you. Let me say it another way. It's mainly not for you. It's always for other people. Listen, so that's why you need to make sure as God increases your wealth, please don't be deluded into thinking it's all about you. When God blesses you and you had an idea and you're working your idea and he blesses you and you're like, I cannot believe what he has done, and you know you're not that good, don't you dare get elevated and then think it is so you can get your new pool or you can get your new 15 acres or you can get... No. You must first ask God, why the heck did you elevate me to this level? And what the heck do you want me to do in light of this? Don't always think it's for you. It's for his vision, not just yours. So you need to make sure that your vision is in line with his, so that as he blesses you, you can be a blessing to other people. One community, do not get greedy as you get elevated. Don't do it. It's the ugliest thing in the world. That you get greedy and you want more and you want to just build bigger and better for you and your family and your kids and you spoil them rotten. And they want to have nothing to do with God. Because everything you had, you thought it was for you. And if you had been a conduit through which God could bless others, your kids will get why he gives you wealth. He gives you wealth because he can trust you to bless other people, not so that you can hoard it and keep it for you. We're smarter than that. Last one. I got to go. Last one, number six. Verse 9, you can read it when you go home. What I show you... No. Don't read. Just go to the point. What I show you is for you and not for valley people. You ever ask the question? Here's the question they asked. I want to go tell everybody Jesus. And he says, no, don't tell nobody. Not until after the cross. So here's the challenge then. Why? Because if he wanted to invite them up, he would have already invited them. This is not for valley people. This is for people who have a unique call on their lives that will lead other people where I want them to go. Too many of us, once we get a little notoriety, want to bring everybody up there, but they don't want to pay the cost. Therefore, you can't invite them up. That's why they didn't get the invitation. You have a call on your life that's unique and custom for you. That's why everybody can go with you. Let me give, I don't know why this came to my mind, so I'm going to give it to somebody who needed it. That's why you need to watch who you marry. Because the person you marry can hinder the call on your life. That's why you don't just act a fool and get married to anybody, because the call and the trajectory God has, your spouse can cut that thing off if you marry the wrong person. So make sure they have the capacity to handle where God's taking you, and don't just go by the first picture you see on whatever site you go to of your choice. Preach, Pastor! Somebody needed to hear that. If you need to hear that, just wait. Don't raise it. I'm done. Let's get out of here. Listen. When you're going up to Mount Hermon, it is so high that there's usually snow on the cap of the mountains, which means at the foot of the mountain, it's hot. So you don't even know what kind of clothes to wear. Here's why. Because the higher up you go, the climate changes. So now Jesus is leading them up. And he's leading them up, and you have to depend on Jesus. That's why he says, when you come to me, well, I don't want you to come. When you get into those environments, I want you to stay humble. You don't know, don't open your mouth, don't say nothing. I want you to stay humble, and I want you to say to me, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to say? Don't bring your old little strategies into this situation. Ask me. That's why their response was, they were fearful, and they fell down to worship him. Listen, here's what the text says. And when they opened their eyes, the only thing they saw was Jesus, because that's all you need when you go to that level. Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person today caught between the valley and between the mountaintop, between their calling and their cravings. I pray for everybody in the valley. Will you help them to be faithful and pass the test of the valley, so you can take them up the mountain? I pray for everybody who you're carrying up the mountain, but they're talking too much, or they're bringing old strategies into this new environment. I pray that you will humble them and let them see your glory so they can humble themselves and realize that they're in a brand new territory and they're way over their heads. Will you teach them the lesson of silence? Will you teach us all the lesson of trusting you when we get to this new level? Teach us, guide us, and protect us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Come on, somebody. Let's give God a round of applause. Come on. All right. I don't want anybody moving now. Here's what we're going to do. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when everybody is being let out, I want you to come forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to move now. Here's why I don't want you to move. Because this is the most important part of the service, where God wants to make, challenge somebody to make a decision for Him. If you move, you'll become a distraction that the enemy will use to distract the person Jesus is trying to get to. So be careful of the moment. If you're here today and you've wandered away and you want to come back, then when everybody is released, I want you to come on down. We'll stay here as long as we need to. If you're here today and you're in the valley and you're making the same mistakes and you're not being faithful and having faith and passing the test, then when everybody is going out, we want you to come up front because we want to pray for you. If you've been elevated, but you've been talking too much, you need somebody to pray with you to trust God, that He'll give you the words to say when it's time to open your mouth. He'll give you the ideas and the creativity when it's time for you to think rightly, and that you won't open your mouth before it's time. If you're here today and you're broken and you've blown it, then when everybody is going, the reason we're a church is because we're here to tell you the hope of Jesus Christ. And when you've broken it, when you've lost it, when you've acted a plumb fool, your heavenly Father says, I've been waiting for you to come, because He loves you that much. And He loves you when you're in the midst of your foolishness. And He says, if you'll just come, I'll change your life and the trajectory of it forever. So as people are leaving and you know God's been speaking to you, don't just go out. Just come on down. We would consider it an honor to partner with you and see what God's up to. Everybody, we're going to be here again on Wednesday night for Thanksgiving Eve service. It's going to be great. All our campuses coming together. You don't want to miss it. All kids 5 and over, they're going to be here. 5 and under is going to be in the children's area. You don't want to miss that. And then if you have something to bring for free market, then you can do that as well. And then remember family photos then as well. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a body of believers that really do want to go to the next level and that take God seriously. Now I want you to go represent Him well. Make Him smile at your obedience and your walk with God this week. We're going to let you out in sections. If you want to be reflective, you can do that while the other section's going. If you want to connect with your neighbor quietly, you can connect with them. Do whatever you wish. But as the screens will show you, a section will be illuminated, and then you're free to go. Thanks so much for coming. God bless. You're dismissed. Watch the sections.